Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The other things that Donald Trump did that I think was truly remarkable that he gets no credit for is that he got government out of the way. He allowed American companies to step up, American ingenuity to take over when we needed supplies and resources. He cut the red tape and let Americans do what they do best. And he passed a lot of the decision making down to state and local governments who were closest to the problem.
So that's Sarah Sanders talking about the president's response to the COVID crisis that our country and that the world, honestly, is facing. And we're going in waves on this thing. We are managing multiple crises at one specific time. It's exhausting. And I know a lot of people are looking towards government to say, what are you going to do specifically on the economic recovery front? And that's why we wanted to bring on Congresswoman Ann Wagner today to discuss some of her efforts in the House to make that happen. Congresswoman, thank you so much for the time today. It's great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be with you and your listeners, Annie. Always great.
Thank you. I'm looking at this legislation that you have, bipartisan legislation that you have proposed along with Congressman Lacey Clay here in Missouri as well. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Because the economic impact is a very real thing that Americans, specifically here in Missouri, but across the country, are facing. What you are doing with Congressman Clay to try to help those individuals?
Yes, thank you, Annie. In fact, we have spent the majority of our time during this COVID period enacting the four pieces of legislation that we did pass on a bipartisan basis and making sure that we help our constituents. And to me, it's all about customer service, doing the casework, doing the constituent services work, whether that's getting them, helping them with their unemployment insurance checks, helping them with their stimulus checks, or in this particular instance, helping the small business owners. There was a program called the Paycheck Protection Program, and Congress put in about $660 billion into this program to help small businesses and mainly to help their employees stay connected to their employers. And the reason, you know, you did a lead-in that talked about with Sarah Huckabee about how quickly things moved and how he really relied on the local and state governments and things to do this. What we relied on lenders, you know, not the government, but lenders. It was backed up by the government. We put the money forward, but the lenders, the financial institutions, banks, credit unions, to get this money out the door. Over 90,000 Missourians have taken advantage of this program in the small business sector. Over $9 billion to Missouri. And average size nationally, I only have a national figure, is about $108,000 that some small business took out. Some of them are as small as $25,000, $35,000, $40,000. And what this does is it's called the Paycheck Protection Program Calculator Bill. And what this does is it allows these small businesses to calculate their loan forgiveness. And kind of an easy-to-use online free calculator for the small business owners to help them go through their forgiveness forms. So there's, you know, quite a bit of paperwork in order to convert some of these from a loan to a forgivable loan or grant. And instead of paying thousands and thousands of dollars, Annie, to an accountant, an attorney, to figure out all of this paperwork, we have come up with a calculator that will be blessed, so to speak, by the Small Business Administration and Treasury. They're going to create it, and they're going to certify it. And it's a forgiveness calculator that's going to really help them fill out their forms, help them calculate everything from their expenses to their payroll data, the period of time that should be covered, what's included, what's excluded, all of those kinds of things, so that they don't have to pay someone else to do it. And it will be certified by the SBA and Treasury, and it'll be one calculator. It will be free and accurate, and I can tell you that the SBA will have to accept any application to request loan forgiveness that is submitted with the assistance of the calculator. So it is bipartisan, it is needed, and it's also, Annie, let me tell you, it's bicameral. So that means I have Senate sponsors too. Senator Kennedy, the ever colorful Senator Kennedy.
He's one of our faves.
He's handling it for us in the Senate, along with Democrat Senator King. So my hope, if we don't pass this, Annie, standalone, that it will be included in perhaps the next package that we'll be doing at the maybe end of July, beginning of August, to again further help from a health and economic standpoint on COVID. So I want to make sure, since we did the Flexibility Act for small business and PPP loans, that they've got 24 months now. They can hang on till this makes it through, and then use the calculator that's been certified, and then their paperwork will be done. So I'm serve on Financial Services Committee, been very involved in especially the small business aspect of this, along with Congressman Clay, who serves on Financial Services also. So a good piece of legislation is going to help real people, which is what this is about right now, Annie, during all of these tumultuous times, as you have alluded to, that we figure out a way to make people's lives a little easier, a little better, take the burden off the kind of constituent services, customer service that we are providing full on with all of my team and staff and myself is key to, you know, people trying to make it through these really rough times.
Congresswoman, with this bill, it sounds like it will pass with all the bipartisan support and the people you've got sponsoring it. I know a lot of small business owners myself who've been very confused by this whole thing. They were glad to get the loan, but they didn't know how to pay it back, and it sounds like you're addressing that. Is there going to be, do you know, kind of a graduated system where smaller businesses have to pay back a certain amount, where we heard there was a lot of bigger, quote unquote, small businesses that were getting pretty big loans? Would they have to pay back the same amounts?
Well, it's all based on the calculator. Remember, this is supposed to be the forgivable part of this loan is if it was going to your employees, if it was going for your utilities, your rent, your mortgage, that percentage of it would be forgiven over a period of time. And the key was to make sure that we didn't end up with people on the unemployment rolls, that they still had their health insurance. So keeping the employee attached to the employer was so important. A little counterintuitive for a lot of businesses, because sometimes they're being paid to stay home, right, when the stay-at-home orders were in place. So we're glad, folks. A lot of people have gone back to work. They're going to have a longer period of time, a lot of flexibility. And what I'm hoping for is that some of the very smaller loans, certainly ones that were less than $150,000, that those could just be automatically forgiven with just a tiny bit of paperwork and just wiped off the records. The others could use the calculator to figure things out. If you took a little larger one, you know, you may have to have a compliance person work through it to figure out. But this was really designed, and you're quite right. Moving target at first, a lot of changes were made, but it was really just to try and adapt to the needs of the business community. And I will tell you, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, who I just left moments ago at a hearing, and the Fed Chairman Powell were instrumental in giving us the maximum flexibility to shape this program, and we continue to do that to make sure that it's user-friendly and reaches the target. There is still, I can tell you, about 100,000 $100 billion left in this program. So we've gone through about $518 billion already. There's about $100 billion left for small businesses out there. So if you still have need, you should get with your lender, your bank, your community bank, your credit union, and get one of these. And they're also for charitable, for C3s, too. 501c3s. A lot of our nonprofits and charitable institutions have been able to get these PPP loans too.
I want to speak to you about some of the unrest. We're speaking with Congressman Ann Wagner here, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Missouri. I'm reading a headline right now because this St. Louis couple defending their home, there's protesters and they're on their property. You know, there's a lot of opinion out there on this, but this is the CNN headline. And I think that the way that this is written is the thing that frustrates the most people. It's not necessarily, I mean, we're not even talking about should they have done that and should the protesters be on their property. Here's the headline. St. Louis couple pulls firearms on protesters cutting through their private street. So the private street is the last thing that's mentioned. The protesters being on their private property is the second thing that is mentioned. But St. Louis couple pulls firearms. I mean, I don't know what the solution is for people who listen to this show, who we share this anxiety of wanting to do something, wanting to contribute to a better tomorrow for our state, for our country, for our families, for our kids. This is really tough, Congresswoman, and I don't know that the solution lies in the hands of government officials, but you are one, and I'm curious what your opinion is. How does America get past this moment in time?
Well, it is a very, very tough moment in time, and I don't care whether you're I think what you saw that happened in St. Louis over the weekend, I'm here in D.C., but I certainly read about it and read the reports, is really, you know, function of all of this discussion about defunding and dismantling our police departments, villainizing our men and women in blue who are working so hard. It is an outrageous thought and is dangerous. And I think people are scared and they're anxious. And I don't care whether it's about their own personal safety, that of their property. They probably left out of that headline, Annie, the fact that they also toppled over, you know, an iron gate to get to their front yard. You know, look at what happens with these statues. I'm literally sitting here on Capitol Hill, three blocks from the statue of Abraham Lincoln that is now surrounded by barricades and armed guards. Look at our own St. Louis, that iconic statue in front of our art museum of King Louis IX, and who was sainted, and people have been gathering around it for days and days on end, peacefully praying the rosary, and disruptors want to show up and deface it with chalk or spray paint. They want it toppled down. They want to rename our city. I mean, this has gotten out of hand. Truly, the thing. These vandals are creating violence. It's not the way to certainly move a monument or a memorial. Our president passed an executive order that says he's going to protect those, and has made it clear that he's prosecuting. In fact, there are wanted posters. The FBI have several in custody. That if you desecrate a monument certainly on federal property, you know, you're going to look at doing some prison time of up to 10 years. You know, if you want to change something, Annie, you petition your government. You do it the right way. You don't do it through mobs and vandals and violence. And also, you know, where does it stop? I mean, Christopher Columbus, I saw, was taken down. Going after Ulysses Grant, who led the Union Army, Abraham Lincoln, and the Emancipation Proclamation. It's, you know, King Louis the Ninth, who was sainted by the Catholic Church and is our patron saint. I don't know why Pierre Laclede chose him. I know the statue was erected after the 1904 World's Fair in honor of it, and they just it's just really disgraceful, I think.
I completely agree with you. The conversation that is being had nationally is not about the merit of the presence of the statues. It's now about the method which we're having the conversation, and that seems to not be productive to me. Congresswoman, thank you for what you're doing to make sure that business owners are able to stay in business and to help people so they can retain their jobs. We've got a long road ahead, but it's good to see that you are working in a bipartisan fashion to make that possible for
always. I always try and do that. If you really want to get something done, it's the only way to. I'm upset by some of the real polarization that we're seeing in Congress and across our country. We've got to come together. And you know what, Annie? We're all leading up to the 4th of July here, you know, the celebration of our country. I hope that you get some time with your family and your listeners do. Let's celebrate America, the good stuff, our freedom, our flag, fireworks, you know, a good St. Louis pork steak. Let's remember what's great about America, okay? And how blessed and lucky we are. During these dark times, I think we're going to need it. So, best to you.
Wise words. Thank you so much, Congresswoman. We appreciate you coming on here today. I want to encourage people to follow Congresswoman at Rep. Ann Wagner. Great to speak with her, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Missouri. Quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mark about that. I'm glad that the Congresswoman set that up. She's asking us to celebrate our country this weekend on the weekend, the day that we celebrate the creation, the birth of America. Can you even do that? Is it worth celebrating? You know, I see one political party saying make America great again, and a common response is when was it ever great? That's a tough pill to swallow. I'm going to ask Mark that when we come back. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show joins us, and we'll answer that question. I have a feeling he's got some things to say about it. And also, he was at the statue here in St. Louis, and we're going to hear the story straight from him when we return. Don't go anywhere. Tell us some jokes on the Facebook Live and the YouTube Live, and Katie and Ryan will react to them. And some of them are really funny. Stop sending the really funny ones when I'm doing serious interviews. It's hard to keep a straight face. We'll be back in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Does he believe, does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two, is he interested in following NASCAR's example and banning the Confederate flag at his own events?
Well, your first question is absolutely absurd. He's proud of the United States of America.
Good grief. Good grief. Good grief. I still can't even believe that that question was asked. Is the president, is he glad that the South lost the Civil War? Oh, when you're looking out into the world today and you're going, what's going on out there? That question is all you need to understand. You need crazy questions like that to be asked in a White House press briefing to make the rest of the stuff feel like it's in context of something. My heavens, it's every day I'm shocked, and then I'm shocked that I'm actually still shocked. It's a bizarre loop that we're in. Mark Cox is covering it every day as well, and he joins us.
It's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
We can't stop. It's too dangerous.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
And that's the bottom line.
Mark, thanks for coming on the show with us today. I mean, I don't know if you heard that clip from yesterday's press briefing. It happened in the middle of our show. But is the president of the United States, is Donald Trump okay with the fact that the South lost the Civil War? You know, you've lived a little bit longer than I have, and I'm newer to paying attention to, like, current modern history. But I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to put this in the confines of what you and I have to do every day. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, you know, Annie, thank you for having me on again. And, you know, I grew up in the time of watching Sam Donaldson stand up in news conferences and scream, you know, pretty tough questions at Ronald Reagan. But they were at least legitimate questions. I mean, about Iran-Contra and issues like that and the deficit and, you know, Grenada when the U.S. sent troops in there. It wasn't about him questioning whether or not Ronald Reagan wished the South had won the Civil War. That Sam Donaldson would scoff at that question. And I wasn't the biggest Donaldson fan in the world. I said this morning, mainstream journalism in this country is dead. If that guy keeps his job after asking an obnoxious, insulting question like that to the leader of the free world, journalism as we know it, it's dead or on its last breath. I'm with you. I didn't even know where to go with that. I thought Kayleigh McEnany handled it beautifully and just laughed at the guy for asking a question that outrageous.
Mark, we got into talking about the McCloskeys and Kim Gardner going after them last hour, and it was brought up that we don't know exactly the situation with Kim Gardner as well as you do. So I was hoping you could break down, you know, is she a lifer? Like, is she going to have a challenge?
How
for her
do
next
we
re-election?
Get rid of yeah. Kim Gardner?
I don't know if you can get rid of Kim Gardner. I don't know who supports her, but I do know that she has a primary opponent, Mary Pat Carl, who nobody, she's like a phantom candidate. She announced she was running. A lot of people were really excited that Kim was going to have a primary challenger. And then crickets. We've heard nothing from her at all. I mean, I've reached out before and invited her onto my show so people could learn something about her. Because believe it or not, there are Republicans in the city of St. Louis, and they may have to go pull a Democrat ballot occasionally to have an impact on the outcome of the election. But as it stands right now, I don't know who defeats Kim Gardner. A Republican can't run in a general primary and beat her, a general election. So she has to be challenged in the primary. And I don't think there's any way to get her out of office unless something really surprising happens in the next month.
I follow the Mark Cox Morning Show on Facebook, and I would encourage everybody else to do that as well. You found yourself down at one of the statues. Is that correct?
I chose to go down there Saturday to the prayer vigil that was scheduled at noon. Jim Hoft and Hennessy and a few other folks had planned a prayer vigil. I thought I want to go see what's going on. And sure enough, I found myself in the middle of about, I don't know, probably 150 stark raving lunatics who were down there screaming and ranting and challenging and trying to get in the face of these people who were doing nothing other than praying the rosary. Now, I'm not Catholic, so I couldn't go pray the rosary with them, but I stood there next to them and listened to them quietly pray while people were getting in their face with bullhorns and foghorns and trying to antagonize them into violence. I mean, eventually the police had to line up between the people praying and the antagonists just to keep them separated, not because the Christians were doing anything wrong, but because the other side was clearly trying to goad them into some sort of confrontation. And not a single local media station portrayed that accurately. They all said that there was a clash between the protesters and the religious observers. Well, there was no clash between one side. Yeah. It was all clash from the other side.
So I want to, did you see the altercation that Jack Posobiec had at the Emancipation Memorial over the weekend? I don't know if you're familiar with.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of clips from that. Yes.
So we had him on the show yesterday, and he was telling the story of how that went down. And the interesting thing about what he's saying is very similar to what you're saying, which is these people get in your face and they try to get you to react. Then the story starts. That's the moment with which the media picks up and runs with this story. And, you know, when he is a host at One America News, and he went down there to video somebody who runs, I think it's Black DC Tours, was going to give a speech about why the Emancipation Memorial is there. It's paid for by freed slaves. Like, let's talk about history and context about this statue that folks want to tear down. He wanted to cover that, and it turned into what could have been a very terrible situation. I don't know what the answer is to standing up to these people. If you go down and you pray, you get accosted. You don't get your part of the story told. If you go down to cover somebody who's trying to give historical context to a memorial, you don't get your story told. Mark, you've been there, and you've seen this happen, and you've seen the media create a different version of a story about what is actually true. Our country is kind of in the balance here, especially in November. What's your recommendation for people who maybe aren't used to showing up at protests or standing up and speaking in that capacity? Is our country at stake?
I think so, Annie. I think people need to not be afraid to turn out at these events, but you also need to understand who's there. Just like Jack found out in D.C., the people getting in his face are trained antagonists. They are unhappy if there's not some event that takes place. They don't want to be blamed for it, but they want to agitate and push and challenge until they get some reaction out of you. In the case Saturday, some water or a drink got thrown on a guy. He lunged forward at somebody who did it, and then everybody jumped on him. So what's the answer to that? More people need to show up and witness what's happening. Because there was a time in this country when journalists were the witnesses and you could trust them to come back and honestly report to you what happened. I came back from that event Saturday. I looked at the headlines on Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 2, and The Post, and all of them had some version of the word clash in them. There were no clashes down there except by one side. And the media will not be honest when reporting on this story. Political correctness has taken over, and it's frightening. I'm with you. If it wasn't for our voice, who would know what happened down there Saturday? And social media, who would know?
Yeah, Mark, I know we're almost out of time, but what do you think is the end of this? I mean, is this going to be what the summer is like? Does it end with the election? If Donald Trump is elected, does it just continue forever? I mean, what do you think? How does this end?
It's a powder keg, and I hate to think what potential outcome of this might be. I would point out, though, that the McCloskey case is an indication of where this could go. Americans can only be pushed so far. I believe that. The McCloskeys are not conservatives. They're not preppers. They're not gun-toting people who are likely to go march in a parade with an AR-15 on their shoulder. These are trial attorneys who are traditionally very liberal. I think these people have given money maybe to both sides over the years, which is politically smart on their part. They've said they were in support of Black Lives Matter, and they were so afraid in that moment that they carried weapons outside of their house to defend themselves. If they're willing to do that, where do you think the rest of America is? I think we reach a breaking point if the violence continues. Somebody's got to step in and calm this down, and that's going to have to happen on the other side of the equation. I don't know who that is yet. That's got to happen.
Mark, I wanted to wrap, but then this comment came through from Kevin, who is a frequent commenter and not necessarily a big sympathizer with my beliefs all the time. But he said, Mark paints quite a picture. If it's accurate, the optics of a mass of people kneeling and praying the rosary while another mass of protesters are literally screaming with bullhorns in their faces, that would have been a great picture for video moment for the right. Shots like that can move public opinion. Is the way he's summing up what you've saw there, is that accurate? And did the media just miss the opportunity to tell that side of the story?
The video is on my Facebook page, Annie. All he has to do is, Kevin, go there and look at my Facebook page. I posted two videos from there. You can see the people, some of them kneeling next to the people screaming, and you can see the line of people praying and the people challenging them, getting up in their faces, pointing at them. The video's right there. The TV cameras could have captured it as well. I didn't get to watch all the coverage. I read some of the stories, but I hope that would have an impact if people would watch it.
Well, we're going to share that, and I'd highly encourage you to go follow the Mark Cox Morning Show on Facebook and see some more of the stuff. Your history of being in journalism serves you very well at times like this, and we're grateful for your ability to share it with us today. Thank you so much, Mark. Good to talk to you.
You bet. Annie, Ryan, talk to you later. Thank you.
Talk to you later. I mean, go see this for yourself. We'll embed it on our blog and share it with you at 971talk.com/Annie, but go like the Mark Cox Facebook page. You will not be disappointed. Let's take a quick break. We can get more phone calls on this. 314-241-9797. I'm still interested in your idea of a solution for right now. And the more rational and calm you are, the more I want to talk to you. And if you're wild and crazy and you're going to make good radio, I'll talk to you too. But
just honesty there. Just
wink,
honesty.
Wink, you know. I'm interested in the people who are baffled at what's going on. And Mark was there. He saw it with his own eyes. And you can see it with your own eyes on his Facebook page. There has to be truth-telling that exists. Is it up to us to do it? To go, and I'm not saying like me, Annie Fry of the Annie Fry Show. I'm saying like me, Annie, just showing up and going and putting myself in a position to show the world what is actually going on. The media sure doesn't want to do it. 314-241-9797. Call me back in a minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're not bopping your head right now. You're not doing it right. It's kind of one of the,
you know, all the lyrics. Ryan knows every single lyric.
I know them in theory. Therefore, I would say yeah.
He was singing his heart out.
Without knowing the words.
Are you going to be my boy?
Girl, you ever heard that Jet song? It goes, see ba da ba da ba dee bom bom bom. It's a scat song.
What is that from?
Muppets.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I knew it. Phenomena. Yeah, you're speaking my language.
You ever heard that Jet song? Phenomena. Goes like that. Real good guitar lick.
Man, can we do this for 6 more minutes?
Yes, we can.
Or we could talk about important things. Let's see here. I'm looking at the phone calls as I was putting up here. I want to talk to Doug. Let's talk to Doug first. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling the show.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
What do you think?
My thing, calmly, is that one thing that I think can happen for us to fight back is attack the advertisers of the Post-Dispatches, CBS Television, NBC, ABC. And I don't just mean not buy the product. I mean write to the advertisers or call the advertisers and let them know. The other side does it all the time, and sometimes it works effectively.
Are you because they're not covering with truth?
They're not telling the truth. They're painting a different picture, like you and Mark were talking about. The very fact that they start at the confrontation level and they don't report the truth. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. Thank you for the call, Doug. There has to be communication that you're not going to stand for it. I am very much for communication directly to the source and reaching out to these entities that aren't. There's no good faith. You know good faith. You remember intentions. You remember trying to figure out what somebody meant to do instead of the final result of what they did do. If somebody bungles something in a harmless conversation with you and they say something and it comes out way wrong, but you know they never meant it that way, doesn't that mean something? Because it doesn't today. And in fact, you can actually not bungle something and still find out that you did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Does it ever stop you? Like, Katie, I know that you get into some conversations. Katie will tell me, like, oh, somebody was posting on Facebook and I couldn't help myself. And I'm like, well, it's up
I'm
to
part
you.
Part of the problem
your
here.
Your Facebook page. But, you know, do you ever, are you ever worried you're going to say something wrong? Or do you just think it's worth it to just go in and speak?
No, I am terrified on this radio show that I'm going to say something wrong. I am terrified that I'm going to be writing something wrong on Facebook. I'm terrified to have conversations with people and I'm going to say something wrong that's going to completely offend them and then they won't be my friend again. Like, it's all about filtering through the process, especially right now because everybody's emotions are so, so high, rightfully mm-hmm. so, but emotions are so high and so much is at stake. You know, you can lose a lot of people in your life if you don't take things with care and take things with caution.
Yeah. Let's get to Betty's phone call. Betty is holding on the line. 314-241-9797 if you'd like to give us a call. Thanks for calling the show, Betty.
Hi. God, I have so much to say. I don't know where to begin. I'm appalled by everything that's going on. I'm especially appalled with the media. I would love to know how are we going to fight back? How do we stand up for ourselves? How do we not accept this behavior that's going on? I was telling the gentleman that answered the phone, I was in a bagel store the other day, and I forgot to wear my mask in, which I never do, and I feel like I should have gone back out and gotten it, but I didn't. And I had a woman, a 22-year-old girl, come up and practically accost me. And
she
got right in my face. Pardon?
What did she say to you?
Well, I got my coffee and I you know, fixed it and I turned around and she was across the room and she started yelling at me, if you're not going to wear a mask, the least you could do is not touch your face. And I said, well, really, I think you should mind your own business. So I got my bagel and I turned around to leave and she said, you need to lose the gym clothes, you old effing bee.
My goodness.
Yikes.
And I said, I don't know what I said to her. And she got right in my face. I mean, she was a quarter inch from my face. And I said, you need to get out of my face.
And if you're such a threat, why did she get up in your face? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. She goes, you just spit in my face. I said, no, I did not spit in your face. And she stuck her arm in my mouth. And so I left the store and I went across the street. No, it gets better. I left the store and I went across the street and I stopped my car because I was going to the grocery store and this woman opens my car door and starts screaming at me that I just spit in her daughter's face. Mm. So I called the police and they came and I said, you know, this is insanity. And the police officer told the mother that wasn't a smart thing to do. I mean, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Betty, you know, I'll tell you this about the mask thing. Thank you for calling the show. I appreciate it. But I am as frustrated with the people who are like that. If that's how that story went down, that is certifiably crazy that you would be so offended by seeing somebody not wearing a mask that you would get up in their unmasked face and stick your hand in your...
Listen, like, here.
I don't know that the neurons are firing correctly. But at the same time, I will also say that in the same category of that crazy lady are the people who are like actively, and I don't know that there are that many of them, going into places without masks to show everybody that they're not wearing masks.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. both of you, stop. Mm-hmm. If you go into a place and you forget to wear your mask, I don't think that you should be accosted. If you have a mask, maybe go get it. If you don't have a mask and you're getting coffee and it's not like mandated by the specific location you're going to, I don't understand the idea of not minding your own business. And if you're so frustrated that you're going, if you see people out and about who are not wearing masks and they are not required to wear those masks, maybe don't go out. Maybe stay inside.
Yeah.
Bill Haley and his Comets.
I just want to play this music for Katie so she can do a little sock hop dancing right now.
Oh, okay.
If you're not seeing Katie's outfit today, how do you dance at a sock hop, Katie? Show us. That's probably exactly how they did it. Keep going. Don't stop.
I want a really cool skirt so I can twirl. That's what I want.
There you go.
Katie,
come on, sock hop time. There you go. Where'd you get your scarf? Your little hair ribbon scarfy thing.
Oh goodness, I think I got it from Target. Yeah, I had this. It came in a pack of this.
Tons of people complimenting Katie's cute little outfit. Do you have your sleeves rolled up? You should.
I don't have my sleeve, but I'm wearing this awesome Annie Fry Show t-shirt, one that Annie designed herself.
Which is vintage now because it's got our old station logo on, and they're like, we can't sell those anymore.
It's so cool.
And it's the most comfortable shirt ever.
Mm-hmm. It's
awesome. If there is somebody out there who is listening right now that prints t-shirts and you want to talk to me about maybe working together, I will design new t-shirts and send people to your business. Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that? I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. Just make me a deal.
FCC
I can't refuse.
Says no.
They probably do say no. We're going to talk to Jim Carafano when we come back, and Katie is going to just dance on the Facebook Live in the break. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.